Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnarled Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, A History of the Federal Reserve, Volume 1, 1913 to 1951 by Alan H. Meltzer is a large-scale, scholarly history of the United States Central Bank from its creation through the Treasury Federal Reserve Accord of 1951. Written by an economist deeply engaged with monetary theory and policy, the book aims to explain not only what the Federal Reserve did, but why it did it. Using institutional records, such as minutes, correspondence, and internal memoranda that became more available to researchers in the late 20th century, Meltzer treats the Fed as a political and economic institution shaped by laws, personalities, and competing mandates. And he situates its decisions in major national and international episodes, World War I finance, post-war deflation, the boom of the 1920s, the Great Depression, New Deal-era reforms, World War II interest rate pegging, and the post-war fight over independence. The result is an analytical narrative that connects policy choices to outcomes and to the Fed evolving structure. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, founding design and early operating problems. Meltzer begins with the Federal Reserve System as a compromise institution, built to address recurrent financial panics while balancing public authority against regional and private banking interests. The early Fed was not created as a modern macroeconomic manager. It was expected to supply elastic currency, improve payments, and serve as a lender of last resort while operating through a network of reserve banks and a governing board in Washington. This design created persistent coordination problems: who should lead, which district should dominate, and how should policy be transmitted through discounting and open market operations. Meltzer emphasizes that structure matters because it shapes how information is gathered, how disagreements are resolved, and how quickly the institution can learn from mistakes. He traces how early operating doctrines and internal frictions affected decisions during periods of stress when speed and clarity were crucial. The book treats governance not as background detail but as a driver of policy outcomes, showing how procedural and conceptual limits at the start constrained the Fed capacity to respond coherently as the economy and financial system changed. Secondly, war finance, post-war deflation, and the limits of early doctrine, the first decades forced the Fed to operate under extraordinary fiscal and financial demands. Meltzer covers how World War I finance and the wartime environment shaped expectations about the central bank role, including pressures to support government borrowing and manage credit conditions in a way consistent with national objectives. The transition to peace brought renewed strains as inflationary pressures gave way to sharp contraction and the severe 1920 to 1901 downturn. In this period, Meltzer highlights how the Fed reliance on particular operating ideas about credit, reserves, and the appropriate use of its tools affected outcomes. Instead of depicting policy as purely technical, he ties it to the institution's understanding of its mandate and to the political context in which policy was made. The book shows how decisions about discount rates, the stance toward credit expansion or contraction, and the interpretation of financial signals were influenced by the Fed internal model of how the economy worked. These early episodes become a foundation for Meltzer's broader argument that persistent conceptual frameworks, once embedded, can be hard to revise even when events challenge them. Thirdly, the 1920s leadership, open market operations, and international linkages. Meltzer treats the 1920s as a formative period in which the Fed moved toward more active use of open market operations and a more system-wide approach to policy, while still wrestling with its decentralized structure. A key part of the narrative is the influence of major officials, especially at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and how leadership and institutional standing affected policy direction. The decade also highlights the Fed's growing entanglement with international monetary and financial conditions in the interwar gold standard environment, where cross-border flows and exchange rate considerations interacted with domestic objectives. Meltzer shows that policy debates were not only about the level of interest rates, but also about the meaning of financial indicators and the proper target of policy. By integrating personalities, institutional constraints, and international considerations, the book explains why the Fed sometimes acted decisively and at other times hesitated. This helps set the stage for understanding how the institution approached the looming downturn and why its toolkit and ideas did not translate automatically into stabilizing outcomes. Fourthly, the Great Depression and the costs of misdiagnosis. One of the central analytical threads in Meltzer history is how the Federal Reserve responded to the onset and deepening of the Great Depression. He focuses on the reasoning behind policy choices, not merely the sequence of events, using the historical record to reconstruct what officials thought they were doing and why. A recurring theme is that adherence to a flawed policy model and institutional fragmentation contributed to passivity and delayed or insufficient actions in the face of banking stress and economic collapse. Meltzer also discusses how the Fed actions and inaction interacted with broader forces, including banking failures and declining confidence, and how internal debates shaped the use of available tools. The narrative then follows the later 1930s, including episodes where policy contributed to renewed downturn, reinforcing the idea that central banking errors can be amplified when the institution misreads signals or overweights particular doctrines. By presenting the Depression as an institutional learning test, the book frames it as a turning point that reveals why central bank design, conceptual frameworks, and accountability structures are not abstract issues but determinants of real economic outcomes. Lastly, from New Deal reforms to the 1951 Accord independence and political pressure, Meltzer follows the Fed through the New Deal era and into World War II and the early post-war years, emphasizing how the central bank relationship with the Treasury and the executive branch changed. A major focus is the period in which the Fed became more constrained in practice, particularly when wartime and post-war debt management encouraged interest rate pegs and policies aimed at keeping government financing costs low. Meltzer treats this as a crucial case study in political economy. Monetary policy does not occur in a vacuum, and institutional independence is contested when fiscal needs are large. The culminating episode is the Treasury Federal Reserve Accord of 1951, which is widely viewed as re-establishing a more independent Federal Reserve by loosening the commitment to fix interest rates tied to debt management. In the book, the accord functions as both an endpoint and a transition, marking the close of the Fed early institutional development while highlighting unresolved issues about models, mandates, and governance. Meltzer uses this arc to illustrate how independence emerges from conflict and negotiation, not from legal text alone. In conclusion, this volume is best suited to readers who want more than a summary of monetary history. Economists, central bankers, financial historians, political scientists, graduate students, and policy-focused readers who need a detailed account of how decisions were made inside the Federal Reserve. The primary benefit is intellectual rather than tactical. Meltzer shows how frameworks, incentives, and institutional design drive policy choices, and he repeatedly links internal deliberations to major outcomes such as the Depression-era collapses, the 1930s policy reversals, and the post-war struggle over interest rate control. Readers come away with a clearer sense that central banking success depends not only on tools but on governance, coordination, and an accurate model of how policy transmits through the economy and financial system. The book stands out among works on the Fed because it combines narrative history with sustained analytical evaluation of the reasoning that guided officials, drawing deeply on documentary records to reconstruct debates and constraints, compared with more sweeping macro histories that emphasize aggregates and outcomes. Meltzer provides a rigorous institutional biography that helps explain how the same organization could alternate between innovation, hesitation, and constraint. Its density is part of its value. It is designed to be consulted, studied, and revisited as a reference for understanding the Fed formative decades. If you would like to support Alan H. Meltzer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.